Payback is heck.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us this Tuesday morning. The tens of billions of dollars in federal bailout money Bank of America received last fall came with one caveat: increased scrutiny from Congress and federal regulators. It looks like B of A has had enough of that. The Wall Street Journal this morning reports the bank now wants to pay back a portion of that bailout. And Marketplace's Sam Eaton joins us live in our Los Angeles studios with the latest. Good morning, Sam.
Morning, Steve.
So why is Bank of America so eager to unload all of this money?
Well, because of the strings that came attached to it, Steve. B of A received a total of $45 billion in government funds last fall, partly as an incentive to take over Merrill Lynch before it collapsed. It was so much money that the government designated Bank of America as an exceptional aid recipient. Now, that's a label B of A would rather do without because it placed the bank's inner workings under the microscope of Congress and under President Obama's new federal pay czar.
So Bank of America, Sam, obviously needed the money back then. What's changed?
Well, Bank of America's share prices have since rallied in part because of the bailout. Another thing that's changed is that many of Bank of America's competitors like Goldman Sachs have already paid back their bailout money, essentially freeing them from the increased regulation that came with it. And Bank of America doesn't want to be the only one still on the government dole, so it's offering to pay back a little less than half of the $45 billion it owes, or just enough to lose that dreaded designation as an exceptional aid recipient.
Yeah. Bank of America's bailout was a little different from other bailouts. Does that complicate things?
It does, Steve. A major source of contention was a tentative pact Bank of America made with the government to share the losses on its riskiest or so-called toxic assets. The government now wants a $500 million breakup fee in order to end that agreement. At first, Bank of America balked at the suggestion, but now it looks like it's willing to seek a compromise in order to get the deal through.
All right, Marketplace's Sam Eaton joining us here in the studio. Sam, thanks.
Thanks.
Let's check numbers. Shares in Europe are mostly lower right now. London's FTSE and Frankfurt's DAX are off by more than 1% each. Asian shares closed up today, mostly under 1%. Wall Street yesterday, not so good. The S&P and NASDAQ shed nearly 1%. The Dow Industrials lost about 47 points to close at 94.96. eBay has apparently come to an agreement to sell its internet phone company Skype. The New York Times reports the deal could be announced today. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, reports it looks like Skype is going to private investors.
eBay has been trying to sell Skype for some time. The company admits that buying the internet phone service 4 years ago was a mistake. The plan to have its customers communicate by Skype did not pan out. Online buyers and sellers prefer to have their transactions in writing by email or text. But eBay's misery may soon be over. The New York Times says the company's agreed to sell Skype to a group of private equity firms and other investors. Barry Fox of New Science magazine says a sale at this time is rather surprising.
There's a dispute now, a legal dispute, between eBay and the original owners about who owns the core technology. If you're going to buy a company, would you really want a legal case unresolved as part of the deal?
That case will be heard in the British High Court next year. The sale price for Skype has not been revealed. eBay has been seeking $2 billion, about a billion less than it paid for the company. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
Well, some of the big banks work out their bailout repayment plans. Other smaller and medium-sized financials are struggling to compete with the big ones. See, the smaller lenders don't have the ad budgets that the behemoths do, and many of them are turning to unconventional methods to attract attention. From station WUWM in Milwaukee, Marty Michelson filed this report.
Here's your Pony Express delivery.
Pony Express delivery.
Yeah. It's a scene from the Old West, kind of. 17-year-old Alyssa Audley is dressed in pink chaps and a matching cowboy hat and rides a chocolate brown mare to the front door of a computer software business. She hands the manager some mail. In this case, the mail is promotional literature for a local bank. Mark Berg is marketing director for Sunset Bank, a lender with about 8,000 depositors in Waukesha, Wisconsin. He dreamed up the Pony Express idea as a way to attract more customers.
You know, Western themes are big right now. Country music is huge. I mean, bull riding on TV. So I thought about a bucking bronc or a bucking bull, and we're going to give away $100. So it made sense.
In the past, Sunset Bank has tried other promotional gimmicks like free gourmet coffee, car washes, and teddy bears. But Berg says with intensifying competition, it was time to step it up a notch.
If you drive around Waukesha, virtually every corner is going to have a bank, a credit union, a check cashing place, or a mortgage broker.
Other small banks across the country are resorting to promotional gimmicks, too. One bank posted a man dressed as Uncle Sam outside the front door to wave potential customers inside. Another installed a giant pink inflatable piggy bank on its lawn to attract attention. Carol Kaplan is with the American Bankers Association.
A small bank has more at stake in the small market and more likely to know what might go over well in their community.
Sunset Bank's Mark Berg says the Pony Express promotion stopped by more than 100 businesses in its three-day run. He says already a handful of new customers have opened accounts at the bank. In Milwaukee, I'm Marty Michelson for Marketplace.
Finally, on Long Island, Bernard Madoff's beach house goes on sale this week. The U.S. seized it as part of an effort to pay back scammed investors. You might think the place just east of the Hamptons is some uber-ritzy, highfalutin super home with expensive furniture and a big floor plan to match. Well, not so much. The 3,000-square-foot abode is smaller than most of its neighbors. It doesn't even have a garage or even a walk-in closet. It is, however, closer than others to the shoreline and has a really nice porch. The mediocre house, mediocre, could fetch a not-so-mediocre $3 million. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this morning. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.